All right, everybody, we are trying to wrap up the week here to get into tomorrow's long form episode here on Mining Stock Daily. But we've got one more for you. We are going to welcome in for the first time Abitibi Metals. They do trade on the CSE with the symbol AMQ. They also have an OTCQB ticker in the U.S. with AMQFF. The company last year had acquired the B26 polymetallic deposit here and have an earn-in agreement for to earn over 80% of that project over 7 years from the company Soquim. They are completed their phase one maiden drill program there at B26, and results from what we can tell here early on are very promising. We're happy to welcome in CEO, Mr. John DeLuce. John, welcome in.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, listen, give us a kind of a paint the picture here about Abitibi Metals and how you got your hands on this B26 deposit.
Yeah, so it's been a long time in the making. Like, I founded the company and we brought it public in 2020, and we came public with two grassroots assets, and then we optioned the Wallbridge's Besh for Gold project. And that's how we first ended up in that area and became aware of the B26 deposit. So we optioned that project, Besh for Gold project, off of Wallbridge in March of 2021. And then we had some good drill results out of Beshefer, drilling about 9,000 meters. But the market for gold and the junior mining market as a whole turned pretty hard after 2020. And we took a step back and thought, okay, well, market conditions are tough, but it also opens up the opportunity to acquire assets, which in good times are not available. So we took a step back, wound down our our burn with the company overall, and looked across and leveraged our contacts to try to find what would be a game changing asset. And I think we landed on that after looking at quite a few assets. We landed on B26, and really the opportunity at B26, I don't think I'll find again in my career, being that this was an asset that was owned from discovery in 1997 by Soquim, which is a private company funded by Investment Quebec. So this isn't a recycled asset that's gone through the cycles, and that's extremely rare to have a deposit of 11.4 million tons of 3% copper equivalent across indicated and inferred that hasn't been in a public company to date is very rare. So really, how did we get the asset? I think that was part of your question. But how we got the asset was, I think, our track record of self-funding this company, that we are completely aligned with our shareholders, with having large insider ownership and stepping up during tough market conditions when there wasn't financing available to keep our cap structure tight. And go to a partner like Soquim and say, and basically going to them and saying, the company's well structured. We have a good complementary asset that's 7 kilometers away from B26. We have great partnerships with the First Nations and established contractors in the region. And my family office has a track record of creating value in the province of Quebec in both the airline, real estate, and mining businesses. So we're not a bit lifestyle company. We went to Soquim with a serious plan of joining and partnering with a smaller company that would make B26 our flagship asset, and had a marketing strategy to really get our story out there in short order. And we've been able to finance up until today. We financed over $20 million without any warrants, allowing us to clear a 7-year option in 5 months. So we've funded the 7-year obligation in 5 months. So really, I think what we presented to our partners at Soquim and allowing us the opportunity to showcase what we think could be a world-class asset, they believed in us, and I think we've been able to deliver. But it comes down to the quality of the asset, but we also showed a strong business plan as to how do we go from a small company to now growing to nearing 50 million market cap and just finishing over 20 million of financing. So maybe I'll pause there. I'm very excited about it, but that's a lot. And I guess part of how we've got from where we were to where we are today.
Yeah, very good. I mean, we can maybe talk about some of those results because they are very promising. You know, mid-April, you put out a headline hold 97.5 meters of 1.5% copper equivalent. And then shortly after that, you published more results that were equally as promising here, including it was 2.6% copper equivalent over 37 meters, another 2.5% over 61.3 meters. And it seems like through this, you obviously, at least looking at the headlines, you expanded that original drill program, almost like tripled it, you know, based on what you were pulling out in the ground, those early results. I mean, talk about what the original maiden drill program was supposed to accomplish. And then when did you go out and start expanding that? And, you know, and what do you, how has that changed here?
Yeah, so when we first announced the option, we were budgeting 2,750 meters in the first quarter and a total year-long drill, I guess, target of 10,000 meters. But as a result of us getting the attention that we have in the market and being able to attract largely strategic shareholders and high net worth individuals to take down our financings, we were able to move, and as you said, more than triple to finishing 13,500 meters in the first quarter, focused on what we believe is a low-hanging fruit in the deposit, which is broken down by the 2018 resource was largely, well, pretty much solely an underground deposit model. And it made sense given the high-grade core of the deposit and where commodity prices were at the time. But there is a disseminated halo around the high-grade core. And part of what you're seeing in these results is exactly that. There's a nice high-grade core, but there's disseminated material around it that adds to a bulk tonnage open pit target. So that was part of our Q1 mandate, was a combination of testing the open pit thesis, drilling gaps in the deposit within the first 300 meters vertical, because the historical resource was drilled on 50-meter centers, and then testing both the eastern extension and the western satellite target, which is 500 meters away from the center of the B26 deposit. And we're excited. We'll be outlining results from the western satellite satellite target next week. So really, but looking forward across 2024 and 2025, we're funded for 50,000 meters of drilling. So we've removed the financial risk within the company. And if we are funded through to 2026. So really, this is a start of multiple phases of drilling. We just released our 3D model that is a leapfrog representation of a much more detailed model than Oasis. But what we want to do is now move Q2, Q3, start drilling at depth and address that 400 meters vertical to 850 meter vertical where there's a lot of infill required to really build tonnage at the deposit. But I think one of the important things that I think your followers should note in the 3D model that we released was one of the deepest holes on the western side of the deposit was drilled 1150 meter hole that hit 5% copper equivalent over 7 meters. There's no drilling down dip. There's very limited drilling within 200 to 300 meters up dip. So that shows and answers the important question of, does this deposit extend to depth? I think that supports it with a strong metal factor intercept. But it's a matter of how do we cost efficiently drill, like 1150 meter hole is a very expensive hole to drill. So we're looking at every step of the process of how do we develop this cost efficiently? So Q2, Q3, we'll be drilling that 400 to 850 meter using pilot holes and wedges to infill that large potential extension. So we're excited. It's part of a much bigger strategy, but I guess getting back to your question, we upsized drilling significantly based on visuals, based on the financing this a lot faster than we expected. But really, there's a lot in store for this year, and we have a lot of plans to outline.
Yeah, John, I mean, Quebec's predominantly known for gold mining, gold exploration. This is an interesting story because of the high-grade copper nature of the deposit. I mean, are there any sort of, you know, similar projects out there within the province that you maybe would point to show some relevancy?
Well, it is rare, and I would say you have polymetallics in the Matagami camp, but there wasn't much of a gold presence within those deposits. So I think that polymetallic systems, even across Canada, are rare. It's even more so to have a gold influence within the system. And I think as well, and part of our thesis that we're going to outline, is really the gold potential on this asset has never been modeled until our technical team. Nobody's ever modeled the gold potential on its own. And we're seeing higher grade gold trends within the deposit, and specifically identifying the plunge of the gold lens on its own, because we do think that the gold potential is underexplored at the deposit, and it's something that we are going to continue to address and where we see upside. I think that you look at the economic benefit of like the Larone deposit, Larone mine owned by Agnico Eagle, and that's a polymetallic, a lot heavier gold credit as of today, but it shows you the size and scale of these deposits. And you look at the surface footprint of B26, it has the footprint of having the potential to be a very large deposit. And you look at Larone, where some of their key zones did not have any surface expression, but started at 5,000 meters down. So really, we think that we could be scratching the surface of a larger system. We are going to employ downhole geophysics amongst other methods to try to see if there's any off-hole conductors or separate lenses that we can target at depth. But I think, getting back to your question, I think the polymetallic deposits are rare, but I think that they're going to be very highly sought after. You look at Pierre Lassonde or Barrick or many other examples that are saying the best deposits are copper gold. That's what the majors are looking for. And especially in such a good jurisdiction like Quebec, we think that these type of deposits will have a premium, and part of why we're so excited to have this opportunity.
Can you walk us through some of the data that Silkworm has provided, if they were previous operators and explorers on the project? What were you working with when you started?
So the resource was published in 2018, partnered with SGS and Silkworm. So that captured about 115,000 meters of drilling, and pretty much the entire data set. That entire data set is in their warehouse in Val-d'Or, and that's important because even in the 2018 resource, within our thesis of looking at the disseminated zones around this high grade core, even SGS identified 8,300 meters of unsampled core within that mineralized corridor. So now that the snow's gone and we can get into the storage facility, we're going to be sampling that 8,300 meters of historical core. But the other thing is as we publish with hole 293, which we ran using a different prep method, because SGS, as part of their resource, also recommended that they had questioned the prep method that was used with the drill core, that they may have not been crushing the rock fine enough to get especially all the gold out of the material. So we crushed the rock 95% passing 1.7 millimeters. And in the 293 hole compared to historical, the grades were much higher on both the gold and copper. So as getting back to the data available, having that drill core, we can go back and quarter split core and compare apples to apples to see if our prep method could increase the grade across the deposit as a whole. So we started with a very strong database from Silkworm, who are very systematic operators and strong operators. And it has allowed us to scale up from announcing this acquisition in November to having three drills on site in February. So a lot of that comes down to having really strong partners at Silkworm and inheriting a database that was quite strong to start with.
All right. I want to ask you kind of about the activity within your equity in the last year. It's been pretty remarkable. And people ask you, why do people participate in such volatile markets like junior mining? Well, Abitibi Metals currently sitting about $44 million market cap Canadian. Your 52-week high, 76 cents. You're currently trading at about 45, 47. Your 52-week low is 3 cents. So this is an incredible turnaround. I mean, if you were one of the lucky ones that bought at 3 cents, you're pretty happy. Kind of walk us through this this frenzy. It was all this attributable to getting hands on the right project. What else kind of lifted this boat of Abitibi Metals equity?
Well, I think it all comes down to the project and having you have a potential world class project, and you can attract the likes of investors like Frank Giustra and Greg Schimandi, amongst other A-list investors that are now part of our cap table. You also attract advisors like Eric Callio, who was the previous senior vice president of exploration at Agnico Eagle, and Shane Williams, who's the current CEO of West Red Lake, but was a VP at El Dorado and oversaw putting the Lamaque mine into production from PEA in 18 months. So it's all part of the equation, but it comes down to the asset. But our stock has reacted well because it was tightly structured as part of that. Because if you have tons of cheap paper out, and if you have all these hidden accounts and management are working against you, then even a good asset, you're going to have headwinds. So I think it's alignment from management in my family office and us being aligned with shareholders that we've been lucky enough to attract this asset that we think will do very well in this cycle. There's no guarantees, but we have positioned investors as well as we can, financing and de-risking the option agreement and outlining a path, I think, to growing the deposit. So I think it comes down to it, to your part of your question. It comes down to the asset, and we've had the contacts to build a really strong team around that asset and finance it with the right people without any warrants that limits the overhang on our stock and allows our stock to be reactive to the news that we're delivering at B26.
All right. John, let's leave it at that. There's going to be a lot of drill results coming up. We'll be released to the market. We're going to be watching carefully, and hopefully we can touch base again later this summer as we kind of get a wrap and get a better sense of what all that data was telling you. So congratulations. I know this is a crazy industry. So for going from 3 cents to 76 cents, you gotta feel pretty good about that.
I appreciate that, and appreciate you having me, and hopefully we'll chat again, but lots of news flow for everybody to follow.
Yep, absolutely. All right, everybody. That was your introduction to Abitibi Metals. Again, trading on the CSE with the symbol AMQ and on the OTCQB with AMQFF. The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak with a licensed financial representative before making any investment decisions.